Inconceivable, you say? Well, that's right. We've decided to come back for our second episode of Shock Talk, discussing everybody's favorite podcast, Shocked and Applaud. We are Sean
and Maddie.
We are Shock Talk, the after podcast talk show you didn't think, you didn't know, you didn't need. And one of these days, I will get that right. Just not today. Okay. So, launching right in, I guess we're talking about The Princess Bride.
One of the best movies ever.
Are you sure? Best?
Yes. Yes, I love this movie. And it's one of the few, it's only one of two, where I prefer the movie over the book.
Explain that now, because they didn't really talk much about the book.
The book is a whole other animal. It includes a lot of extra stuff that they didn't put in the movies. It really isn't necessary. They took the story within the story and made a movie of that. And the only thing that I wish that they had done in the movie that wasn't in the book is the Pit of Despair, because the Pit of Despair is like 10 levels of vicious animals that the prince has hunted and won.
So in the book, one of the big things is Prince Humperdinck is a hunter.
Yes, and he's short and squat.
Right. So one of the things that they couldn't figure out, the Shocked and Applaud people couldn't figure out, was why Prince Humperdinck would say, "May I never hunt again." Like, okay, great. You're not going to hunt
again.
Yeah,
no. I mean, that's like his thing, is that he's a hunter. And he has, in the Pit of Despair, all of the animals, they are classified, you know, what their trait is. Like, whether they're super intelligent or super fast or super big or whatever. So he hunts all different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so that's like his whole thing. Because when you're white and rich in the Middle Ages, like, what else are you going to do? You're going to hunt stuff.
Pit of Despair, not as big in the movie as it should be, because the book made it huge.
Yes.
All right. You heard it here, folks. Moving along, now we're going to talk about Subway is one of the largest opportunities in the food franchise industry, with an established global brand with a proven operating system already in place. To get started with a Subway franchise, it costs about $15,000 for the franchise fee in USA and Canada. The total investment in a Subway franchise is between $116,000 to $263,000.
Are we doing a Subway spot here? Are they sponsoring us?
No, we're just talking about what it costs to make a Subway franchise. Because if you want to act entitled and hoity-toity, you really have to pay Subway 12.5% of your total gross every week for royalties and advertising.
Oh.
So yeah, eat fresh, pay Subway. Moving on. All right. So another couple of things they talked about on the show was the year 1987. It seemed to be kind of pivotal in Naomi and Jen and Lydia's life. Some of the pop culture moments from 1987 were The Simpsons first appear in an episode of The Tracey Ullman Show. Now, Simpsons have been around since 1987.
It's been a hot minute.
2020. That means Bart Simpson should be maybe 30, you know?
If he was 10 in 87.
If he was 10 in 87, he'd be 40.
Older than you. Wow.
He'd be older than me. Ay, caramba, indeed. All right. Full House airs for the very first time.
I liked that show. I watched it. I liked the show.
You liked the show?
I did. Kimmy Gibbler, I could give or take.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was
rude.
Not a fan.
Well, you weren't their target audience.
I was not. But to throw it back to our last episode of Shock Talk, I recently found out that the Alanis Morissette You Oughta Know song was actually about Uncle Joey.
You didn't know that?
Well, I mean, the guy with the puppet, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they were a whole thing.
Funny guys get the chicks, right?
They do!
It's weird. Okay.
That's why they're married.
The number one movie of that year? Go ahead, guess what it was. You already saw my list, didn't
you? I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Beverly Hills Cop 2!
Now that we're going along, we're going to talk about Princess Bride and pop culture. And recently, it came up with the Deadpool 2 remake called Once Upon a Deadpool, which was Fox's attempt to take Deadpool 2 and remix it from a rated R movie to a PG-13 movie.
Oh, okay.
So what they did
seems
is
that, impossible.
Well, they kind of succeeded. What they did is that they took a framing device of Deadpool kidnapping Fred Savage, who played the boy in The Princess Bride, tying him up and forcing him in the old bedroom set to re-listen to Deadpool tell Deadpool 2 all over again, only with all the squidgy bits taken out.
Is this the kissing part?
Yeah, kind of like that. You know, removing the kissing, the nudity, the gore, the guts. So my note says that after spending the entire development process of both Deadpool and Deadpool 2, Ryan Reynolds was insisting to Fox that these films must be R-rated. Deadpool has an R-rated sense of humor. You can't do it.
Yeah. No, it's not kid-friendly. He's not a kid-friendly character. And not they don't all have to be.
All right. Ryan Reynolds agreed only to support a PG-13 version of the film if a portion of the film's profit went to charity. So Fox agreed to donate $1 for every ticket purchased to the charity campaign Cancer, which would be temporarily renamed Fudge Cancer for the tie-in. So,
and that, my friends, is why Ryan Reynolds is amazing.
So one of the other things Shocked and Applauded talked about was how the song I've Had the Time of My Life was stuck in their head.
I've had
the time of my life.
Which is from
Dirty Dancing, yeah. Another movie that came out in 1987.
Okay.
Apparently, that song and Storybook Love.
I love the Storybook Love song.
You love the Storybook Love song?
I do.
Oh.
It would be on my playlist if I knew where to find it.
Yeah. Both of those were up for best song. Guess which one won?
I've Had the Time of My Life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows of Storybook Love song.
Yep. Uh-huh. There was also some talk about how in the credits it said Robin Wright's billing as Princess Buttercup was introducing Robin Wright, which is traditionally reserved for the first movie a person is starring in if it's like a big deal. Unfortunately, I have an interview from 1993 where Robin Wright said that she didn't know anything about this business. She did a film before that called Hollywood Vice Squad, which was an escape from the soap operas she'd been doing. And everyone thought The Princess Bride was her first thing, but she didn't want to tell them, well, I did a semi-porn before that called Hollywood Vice Squad, which I looked it up. She played a teenage hooker.
I think maybe there's going to be some editing that's going to be done.
Oh, some editing?
Yeah.
Oh.
For the word porn.
I think porn is acceptable.
You can say she did a semi-adult film.
A semi-adult film?
Yes. Because softcore, because while Deadpool porn. While Deadpool is not for children, this podcast is for children. It's porn. Supposed to be children friendly.
Porn. Also, Naomi said that she knows some Milo and Otis quotes talking about how The Princess Bride is so quotable.
Yes.
One of the most quotable movies.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, we love it.
Anybody want a peanut?
In Milo and Otis, there's a part where Milo's mom goes, Milo, I've told you and again, please don't walk on the chickens.
See, I hated that movie.
The narrator at one point goes, the noise upstairs didn't disturb the dogs that slept in the barn. They could sleep through anything. But a lot of the other animals were awakened by all the scurrying overhead. Some just accepted it. Some were pretty annoyed. And a few quietly plotted revenge.
That would be the chickens.
That would be the chickens that Milo was. Well, he walked on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why didn't you like Milo Notice?
As a super big animal person, they when filming that movie, they were not that nice to the cats and dogs that they used in filming. Mm. I believe. And I didn't like the ending.
The ending was kind of...
Yeah.
In college, I did a paper using a medieval scholar, monk named Tertullian, who used to be a critic of the arts. And I used his theories to put forth the idea that Milo and Otis was a work of Satan.
And did you get an A?
I got an A. Yes, I
did. Of course you did.
Because apparently giving voice to animals in Tertullian's world was giving them a spirit, and animals don't have souls.
Babe.
Mm-hmm. Babe would be evil.
Yeah. What's that other one about the pig? Gordy?
We don't talk about Gordy.
I know. I know how you
feel
about
Gordy.
For
those of you who want to know, yes. Gordy is a terrible, terrible film. Everybody should probably go out and watch it now, because I want your souls to be ruined in the exact same way mine was when I had to watch it while babysitting a friend of mine.
So then we're going to go on. Moving on.
Moving along, Naomi asked where this movie was filmed, so I got a little bit of facts about that.
Okay.
This film was shot in various locations in England, Ireland, in late 1986.
We love Ireland.
Carl Walk, Sheffield, England. Burnham Beaches, Buckinghamshire, England. I'm sorry, I'm not English, so if I ruin this for you, I apologize in my Pacific Northwest nasally intonation. Let's see, Lathkill Dale, where it meets Cale's Dale, was the Battle of Wits scene. You can actually visit many of the film's locales, including the Cliffs of Insanity, which are otherwise known as the Cliffs of Moher in Clare County, Ireland. County Clare, Ireland.
So when we go to Ireland for our 25th anniversary, will you take me to the Cliffs of Insanity?
I can take you to the Cliffs of Insanity tonight, baby.
Okay, so we have
a
couple reviews that we want to share.
These are reviews of Shocked and Applaud. Now we're moving on. These are things that you have said about the Shocked and Applaud podcast.
Ryan Luis Rodriguez, 5 stars. Such a fun series with engaging hosts and no shortage of enlightening and hilarious discussions. I'm pretty selective with my podcasts, but once I heard the Brave Little Toaster episode, I knew this show would have a permanent place on my playlist. Matt K, 5 stars. Absolutely fantastic podcast. I have listened to a few episodes now and love the banter and fun that they have in each episode. They really go in depth in each episode and make you want to go back and watch with their observations in mind. Also makes me want to watch the films that I haven't gotten around to yet. If you haven't started listening, then what are you waiting for? Subscribed and loving it. Emily P. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your last name. 5 stars. Absolutely love how these amazing women are effortlessly engaging in their plot-by-plot analysis of some of my favorite movies. They are witty and clever and hilarious, and I love how goofy they can be. I literally can't stop gushing about how refreshing it is to hear female voices. Can't wait to keep listening. We also want to let you guys know that our lovely hosts will be on, they're going to be guests on I Drink Your Pod, another podcast that we recommend you check out and listen to. And we also want to give a shout out to our Patreon supporter, That's Basically the 80s, which is another podcast that everybody should go and check out.
It is with them we can probably make this podcast, at least if not self-sustaining, maybe a little bit easier to produce. So we want to thank all of you for your Patreon support.
Yes. Check us out on Patreon. Well, check out Shocked and Applaud, not Shock Talk.
Yeah.
We don't need a Patreon.
We don't need – you don't want to listen to us. So before we go, one last thing that I liked about this movie, The Princess Bride, was how many people had gotten hurt on this movie. Naomi,
like emotionally?
Well, no, physically.
Okay.
Like Naomi and Jen and Lydia already discussed how Count Rugen hit Dread Pirate Wesley over the head, and Christopher Guest actually knocked Cary Elwes out for a very long time.
Well, didn't he say he could handle it?
Yeah.
No, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this, bro.
There was also Robin Wright, who got caught on fire during the scene, the swamp fire scene. There was also Count Rugen himself, Christopher Guest. He had an extensive choreography with Mandy Patinkin during their duel at the end. And he decided that he wanted to throw that all out without telling Mandy Patinkin. So Mandy Patinkin actually hit him with the sword a couple of times and felt really bad about it.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. I'm sorry, I just can't. This is that whole quotability thing.
Yep. Also, you know, there's all this stuff about Andre the Giant's health and how he had back braces and he couldn't lift people. And he actually got a golf cart to drive around because, you know, he's amazing. Which brings me to our final fact, Sean fact, that I saved. Didn't tell anybody about.
Because it's the best one ever.
Because it's the best one ever. Actually, I found an interview that on Live with Kelly and Ryan in August where Cary Elwes discusses his favorite Andre the Giant moment.
Andre goes, I guess not very long. Like that, right?
Right.
And he lets out the most monumental fart. I mean, no, for real. Like, insane, like, deafening. We all still have tinnitus in one ear.
Right.
And the whole plywood set was shaking.
Yeah.
And just, and the sound guy lifted his headphones off his ears and, like, was doing that. And it went on for, somebody timed it, was 16 seconds, which is not, yeah.
A real
and it went
fart.
Up, it went, it had variations.
And it was a symphony, if you will.
Oh, it was a symphony, Ryan.
Yeah.
And his face, I looked over, I made the mistake of looking over him, and he was, like, had this beautiful smile.
And it shook the stage, it creeped everybody out, and it went on for 16 seconds. So, for that, we are going to give you 16 seconds of silence to understand how truly magnificent this flatulence was. And stop. So, for those of you who waited that long, imagine someone letting loose with an ass blast that size.
And right after that, he went, everybody move!
You know what? I would have. No, actually, what happened was, is after the shunned silence from the rest of the crew, Rob Reiner, the director, said, Andre, are you okay? Like, oh my god. To which Andre said, I am now, boss. So, with that, this is Sean.
This is Maddie.
Here is, for Naomi, a Gangnam-style Christmas remix. Because she mentioned that creepy Santa Claus in Fred Savage's bedroom looked like he was doing Gangnam style. So, for your listening pleasure, good night.
Good night.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, nothing was stirring, not even a mouse. And all the good boys and all the good girls were all fast asleep across the whole entire world. Because I'm Santa Man, yeah, I got all the presents, cause I'm Santa Man. And I got a white beard because I'm Santa Man. And I like to eat the cookies just because I can. Yeah, I'm Santa Man. On Christmas morning, your parents snoring. What do you say? Hey, it's Christmas Day.